one is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment, and that's what we're going to do. Magical Engineers, ready? Frank, you ready? He's ready. I'm ready. We have a great show. We're going to be, for the first part of the show, before I do that, I want to just say welcome to Herb Talk if you're new. Also, thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. If you miss any shows and you want to hit the archives either on AVR or thepowerherbs.com, they should be available within 7 days. So, just let us know if you have any problems there. Well, for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about some modern alchemy. If you don't know what that is, we'll discuss it. We're also going to revisit, our bathroom, the throne. What does your poo say about you? We're going to talk about that part two. And we'll see how much time we have left. We have other stuff and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. Hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, minding the time, it grows short. And our devotional says in Luke 10, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. John 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, that means Satan. And then if we go to Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, and through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So the Lord's done all the heavy lifting. All you got to do is accept him as the Lord of your life, all of your life, and find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, COVID serums, they say, increase the risk of blindness. This is a study, England, study, a large-scale study in England, found that people who get the COVID shot have a substantially increased risk of going blind. Published in the British Medical Journal of Nature, the research explains that the fully vaccinated, well, it's not really a vaccine, but the people who get the shot for the COVID have an elevated risk of all forms of retinal vascular occlusion in 2 years after getting the shot. Compared to unvaccinated, those who got the shots have up to a 350% increased risk of suffering from some kind of vascular impairment over the next several years. So it may be a gradual thing, and it may just have an onset within a year or two. They say overall the risk of retinal vascular occlusion is significantly higher than people who didn't get the shots. And in case you're unfamiliar with this terminology, retinal vascular occlusion is one of the most common causes of blindness. It occurs when the flow of blood from the retina, where the blood vessel of the eye is located, becomes blocked, often because of a clot. And we also know the COVID shots produce clots. Okay, last but not least in the quack report, secret White House team is tackling supposedly our drug shortage problem. The U.S. kind of hit a five-year high on concern on the safety of the medicines and the availability of the medicines, and the Biden administration quietly assembled a team to address these chronic problems hurting the Americans' drug supply. So since the beginning of the year, the White House group of officials that's been meeting frequently to increase the availability and quality of medicines, according to several people, on this matter, the effort has intensified as Americans struggle to find some common drugs like high-profile safety medicines, cardio drugs, pain drugs, things like that. Now, the group is led by the Domestic Policy Council and National Economic Council, and they're struggling to reach a consensus with the FDA. At present, the FDA has refused to fully answer some questions about making certain changes that the White House group has asked them to make. But the FDA comes back and says that they are cooperating fully with the White House and their agency, but they said, we can't fix the supply problems alone because larger market forces are driving generic drug makers out of business, contributing to the drug shortages. Well, if they can't fix this, what does this mean for people on lifelong drugs? This should be really thought about. It's a problem. I personally wouldn't be on a lifelong drug because then you're kind of held captive to that. Who wants to be captive to that? What'd you say, Frank? Frank says, every junkie knows it sucks when your dealer cuts you off. Thank you, Frank. Very graphic illustration. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
I know. Hard truths. All right, Frank. I personally wouldn't want to be in that position. You know, even if it's a thyroid, anything that controls metabolic functions, your hormone replacement drugs, and that includes your thyroid meds, cardiovascular meds, diabetic meds, any of these things that your body is dependent on. What are you going to do if there's shortages or rationing? And then, you know, who's going to decide the rationing and who qualifies and doesn't qualify? It's not something I want to do. Well, we're going to talk about some modern alchemy here. Now, the practice of alchemy. Wait a minute. What, Frank? Frank is saying, what? It's going to be like this for food and everything else, too. Mm-hmm. They're turning the screws. Well, yeah, I mean, if you think of some of the, yeah, you're right, Frank, because if you think of some of the interviews of, you know, survivors from the Nazi concentration camps, you know, it was like a gradual thing that happened. They said over the course of 5 or 6 years, and then, you know, they got invaded with communism and all these things happened. They lost their lands, they lost their homes, they lost their savings account, their retirement funds. I mean, one Czechoslovakia lady was saying that she was a child when this happened, and her uncle owned a farm, right? And so they came in and took the farm, but they allowed the family to stay in the house because they wanted them to work the farm, but all the things that they produced went to the Nazis, and they were just given a pittance. And so this poor guy, in the middle of the night, he was going to dig up potatoes on his once-owned farm that was handed to him down through the family. So he's out in the middle of the night digging up potatoes so he can feed his family, you know, stealing potatoes that he planted on the soil his family inherited. So, you know, it's just mind-blowing. I hope, you know, I don't want to see this, but it could happen. What'd you say? For anything a third party controls over you is a dangerous thing. Sure. Okay, well, let's get to our alchemy topic. So the practice of alchemy goes back to ancient writings, all the way back to Babylon. So in 2010, Dr. Truat actually sent me this research on the roots of modern medicine, and it actually started in Babylon. So the medical symbol of the staff and the snake originated in Babylon as a witch doctor symbol. So I did some research recently on a medical journal search engine, and I wanted to see if modern medicine is conducting alchemy research. And yes, guess what? Indeed, they are. So what is alchemy? In the ancient world, they often incorporated witchcraft or sorcery with healing treatments. So history reports that chemistry came from alchemy experiments, and alchemy is often defined as transforming matter. So the ancient tales of turning a common metal into gold was referred to as the magical attempts of alchemy. Now, other references into the, I guess, mystics of alchemy was the things like the Holy Grail for longevity, and also what is called a universal elixir that would cure all disease. Now, citations of merging alchemy with astrology is also referenced in the writings as the occult sciences. Now, the Oxford Dictionary refers to alchemy as a magical process of transforming creation or combining it with something else. So transforming creation, recreating it, and that's pretty much what you're seeing in medical science lately. So let's look at the alchemy trail for a minute. So the word alchemy has been borrowed from Old English. It was called alchemy or alchemy, which was taken from a medieval Latin term, alchemia, which was borrowed from the Arabic alchemia. So the Arabic word was borrowed from a late Greek, chemia, chemia, which means black magic. And the Greek term, chemia, refers to a mixture, referring to a pharmakia process. And pharmakia is a word that has its root as witchcraft. So the Greek name was derived from Egypt, chema, okim, which means black earth, not the red desert sand. So alchemy was in its original force for several thousand years, involving three continents, Asia, Islamic nations, and Europe. In the 9th century, Chinese alchemists made gunpowder. They made it by accident when they were trying to make a potion for eternal life. There's that holy grail thing again. So alchemists, chemists, I guess you could call them alchemist chemists, were the first to extract metal from ore and make inorganic acids. And some of the surviving papyri from Egypt, from their writings on alchemy, included recipes on making artificial gemstones, fabricating pearls, and manufacturing imitation gold and silver. So in the 1600s, alchemy became overshadowed by the creation of scientific chemistry. And the chemistry of today has its bones in alchemy. With regard to medicine, it's clear that alchemy is essentially quackery. Yeah. So let's look at alchemy. It's not natural medicine. Let's get that straight. So a word called spergeric it refers to a product. So spergeric refers to a product that goes through a process of disassembling the nutrition from its source in order to remove some elements and then reassembling them again, creating something different than what was in nature. So that's what you call a pharmaceutical drug. So in most cases, the process will extract a lot of ash from plant materials. And this was a common process in medieval alchemy. It was a process used to purify metals. It also was no surprise that the word spergeric is used interchangeably with the word alchemy. However, recently the term spergeric has been reassigned. People want to reassign it to alternative and holistic forms of medicine, stating the name spergeric is a common name for a plant mixture, when it's not. Get that straight. Now, what is used in the matter refers to a different process. Spergeric is removing the ash from a plant, cooking it at high temperatures, and adding it back into a formula. The process is really a thermal treatment on minerals in the plant. So the heat sources used can be compared to a kiln or a furnace. And this whole process is calcination, or a Latin word to mean burn. Burn the you-know-what out of it. So during the process, metals are typically oxidized. So calcination was referred to in alchemy as one of the 12 vital processes to transform substances. And there are two ways to calcinate, by fire from wood or coals or a fuel source called actual calcination, or by a corrosive chemical, usually involving mercury, ammonia, salts, or sulfur, and that is called potential calcination. So I think they're trying to take this whole thing. This is what narcissists do. They do something, and then they try to blame you for it. So they're trying to take all this process and say, well, this is what natural medicine is, and that's not. Let's look at some examples of modern alchemy for a minute. Health professionals, well, they often don't make the connection that the profession of allopathic medicine stems from alchemy. They fail to see that heavy metals in, let's say, vaccines or other treatments is a form of alchemy. And that the scientific quest, you know, they're always looking for that universal flu vaccine, you know, as a cure-all. That stems from alchemy's universal elixir model. Also, reassembling molecules also comes from the magical theories of alchemy. Therefore, when science conducts experiments for deassembling molecules in one place and transporting them to another location and reassembling them, this is a concept, you know, this is, you know, the transformation of matter, often mentioned in alchemy. And this is also a concept you see in sci-fi movies like Star Trek. You know, the transporter, where they disassemble your molecules, transport them by a light wave, I guess, down somewhere else, and then on the other end, reassemble them. That was in Star Trek. And don't laugh, because, hey, Captain Kirk on Star Trek had a flip phone. Well, they called it a communicator. Now, lastly, the research done by hybrids, you know, merging two different species into one is also alchemy. It's an alchemy concept. So there's really nothing new under the sun, and alchemy is very much alive within your modern medicine, in your healthcare. Well, let's look at this new research. 2017, Princeton University was putting a twist on alchemy, attempting to make two different things appear as the same. Here's a quote by, let's see, one of the professors there, oh, Princeton University. They say, we've taken an alchemist's ancient goal to transmute elements by making one material behave like another. Therefore, two systems can be made to look alike with the flash of a laser pulse. They go on to say, the realization of transmutation in modern times is here using a massive particle accelerator, end of quote. So it kind of looks like scientists have taken the ancient ambition of alchemy and turned it on its head by making one material behave like another. And this research did get published in the February 2017 Journal of Physical Review Letter. And this concept, by the way, reminds me of this sci-fi Star Trek movies that the entire spaceship, remember this, Frank, the entire spaceship could vanish using a cloaking device. So the ship appeared as outer space and you couldn't really see it. It disappeared. Everything looked like outer space. So two things to look like one. So what they're doing is bending light waves. According to the research, the scientists are bending light to reflect the same way so they appear the same. They're making non-permanent changes to the item molecules to mimic the reflective molecules of the other object. So this research shows it could be used in molecule detection. So your DNA is a molecule. So if they have your DNA, future technology using this light concept could detect where people are without chips in them. So the laser the scientists are using is very powerful. It has an ultra-fast laser pulse, which is strong enough to interact with molecules and change the electron cloud without actually changing the target identity. So they are calling this concept spectral dynamic mimicry. Interestingly, they can also go in the opposite direction and make two identical items look completely different. Isn't this freaking you out, Frank? Oh, this new area of research has branches, and they are taking this application and advancing it into quantum computers and chemical reactivity. So the field is called coherent control, where light is used and manipulated to control the behavior on a molecule level. Whoa, so we have to wonder what AI will do with this. Artificial intelligence. We certainly live in an age where things don't appear as they are. Well, let me read you some quotes from the scientists. This is Saul Mekel, professor of chemistry, University of California, Irvine. He said, it is a very nice application of coherent control. It demonstrates that you can, by shaping the optical paths, bring the molecules to do things that you want beforehand. And it could potentially be very significant. End of quote. Well, we've got a new name on this, but it's really an old process. So sporidic is a term used to describe the ancient process as alchemy. The ancient alchemists developed a process to transmutate base metals, minerals, and other nutrients, and the process included mythology and magic. Overall, alchemy differs somewhat from modern scientific chemistry of today, but it is said to have launched modern chemistry, and some of the alchemy basic laboratory techniques are really still being used today. So what alchemy did is contribute in science is really what they contributed was theory, hypothesis, terminology, and experimentation. Alchemy did not discover the periodic table, the theory of mass, or any real understanding of chemical elements. So in the ancient world, the alchemists would take common metals like gold and create a panacea. Trying to understand modern alchemy is going to be a challenge. Western alchemy is a combination of Greek philosophy and Egyptian and Mesopotamian technology. Here's a quote. This is from H.J. Shepard. He's a chemistry historian, and he's the author of History of Alchemy and Chemistry. He says, alchemy is the art of liberating parts of the cosmos from temporal existence and achieving perfection, which for metals is gold and for man is longevity or immortality and redemption. So material perfection was sought through the action of the preparation, like the philosopher's stone for metals, elixirs of life, and so forth, while spiritual emolument resulted from some form of inner revelation or other enlightenment. Man, crazy. I mean, I've been on this for a while, Frank, where, you know, science wants to recreate what God started. Like, he didn't finish it right or something. That's their thinking path, and they want to make it better. This is where they want to liberate what God made from the cosmos and achieve perfection. Okay. I don't agree with that. So I'm on record on that. What'd you say, Frank? Frank says the alchemist sounds like a con man. snake oil salesman. Hey, don't hit that snake oil salesman too much. Some of that got twisted and perverted in the real history of what a snake oil salesman is, and we'll have to talk about that one time. Well, we're trying to talk about God's medicine now, because we need to have discernment with regard to what alchemy is and what natural medicine God invites us to use in Scripture. So herbal medicine is what God intended man to use, not alchemy. So it is important to know the difference and guard against treatments that will harm the body. So God's wisdom far above man's. And with regard to modern medicine, we should be very selective. Trauma care may be necessary, but dosing the body with pharmaceutical drugs to treat symptoms will never deliver better health or a cure. Now, if you want more information, contact Apothecary Herbs and request their free product catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And, of course, you can jump on the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Right now, you can save 20% with their Mother's Day sale. Runs through May 14th on orders of $65 or more. Want to use coupon code MDAY23. Restrictions apply. Of course, details are online, or you can just call and use that code over the phone or ask for the Mother's Day sale discount. But hurry, it will end in 3 days. 3 days. So this is a good time to stock up if you want to get some things. Frank, you're really chatty tonight, Frank. What? It is still worth risking sepsis or just to get some what? Oh, stitches or a broken bone set. I know, Frank, you're not a big fan of going to the medical clinic. I understand. I do understand. Well, I needed help with my deep hematoma. You know, I couldn't have fixed that one. So sometimes you need to be cautious and be smart about where you're going and ask questions. And I did. And I came out alive. We just have to be discerning of these things. Well, I'm late in the segment, so we're going to take a break. And we'll be back with more. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Oh, thank you, Frank. Okay. We're back from the break. And so we're going to take part two. And Frank, during the break, was pointing out that, you know, he's not against trauma care. It's just some of the facilities they perform the care in can put you at risk of picking up superbugs. I understand. What did you say, Frank? Oh, he says, if you eat well and supplement, your immune system is stronger than most of what they got fixed up for you at the hospital, and that could create another problem. Totally agree there, Frank. Totally agree. Well, on the same sheet of music there. All right, so we're going to be talking about part two of, you know, what does our poop say about our health? If you missed part one, go back to the archives, but we're in gas and flatulence. You know, people have a real problem sometimes with that gassy feeling, very uncomfortable. You ever had one of those gas pains, Frank? Oh, right? There were parts of Africa and parts of Europe, countries they were considering laws that would make people susceptible to fines if they were too gassy and they exposed people to, you know, smelling some unsightly smells. Can you imagine, though, if they had gotten those laws enacted, individuals hauled before a court with allegations of assault by flatulence? And can you just hear that legal team arguing how their client was harmed by a sudden, silent but deadly explosion of flatulence? Well, I think the real crime is the high carbohydrate and sugar foods corporations are allowed to produce and sell to people, making them a bit gassy. Maybe the defense may use that. I don't know. But we're going to talk about some gas culprits here and things like that. Frank, the gas pain can feel like a heart attack. Oh, I know. Right? And, you know, what about, you know, those situations where you'd like to pass gas, but you can't? Maybe you're doing a presentation at work or something. Well, let's talk about some gas culprits. Foods that tend to produce a lot of gas, you may be able to avoid, especially in Europe and Africa, things like beans, broccoli, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, onions, turnips, legumes, artichokes, nuts, almonds, and pistachios, especially asparagus, pears, apples, peaches, soda, avoid soda, breads, artificial sweeteners like sorbitol, milk products, and packaged foods that have lactose, a lot of sugar, your bread, cereals, and even some of your salad dressings. Now, some of the over-counter and prescription meds used to address gas are the same products used to address irritable bowel syndrome. So it is estimated about 20% of our population suffer with repeat excessive flatulence. So eating healthy and avoiding the foods that can make you gassy will cut down on a majority of that gas. Fennel seed is one of my favorites to use, very fast-acting as a natural suppressor of any of those gases. Colicky babies can use it too. So I like to use it in a liquid, like a tincture form. Just works really fast. You can put a dose in a little bit of water and you can, and kids can use that. To kids, it tastes kind of sweet, so they like it. Now, a lot of people are familiar with some spastic colon issues, you know, hemorrhoids where spasms or swelling can cause a lot of pain. But how many people experience extreme pain in the rectum area when they have a bowel movement? Have you ever heard that, Frank? Yeah. So the discomfort is extreme for people, and they feel like they just passed a large object the size of the moon, only to find out very small bits of poo were in the bottom of the toilet. So what's with that? So if you experience this, you most likely have a tear in the anal area called the anal sphincter. Sphincter. The anal sphincter. So the tear most often occurs when you're trying to pass very hard stool, and then the tearing of the lining can cause a spasm of the intestinal sphincter area, sort of like a muscle cramp in your butt. Okay? So having bowel movements with a torn anal sphincter, very painful. I guess if you had to compare it, it's like trying to pass a kidney stone pain, that kind of pain. Now, you definitely want to avoid this problem. So eat healthy meals. Avoid the fast foods, the processed foods, any meals that come without fruit and vegetables. Avoid those. So you got to have that fiber. And to help, you know, to heal, you want to eat a soft diet if you have a tear and use some anti-inflammatory herbs like willow bark and meadow sweet, sitz baths. You're probably going to have to rest this for about 2 weeks. Soft diet, you know, scrambled eggs, hot cereals, you know, that aren't too glutinous. All right. Hey, Frank, do you know what the Dracula poo is? Yeah. Nothing will give you a shock and concern than to discover blood in the stool. Yeah. So many things can create blood in the stool. Hemorrhoids, for instance. torn lining of that anal sphincter, abnormal blood vessels, diverticulosis, and even if you just, you know, weren't gentle when you were cleaning up and you wiped too hard, that can do it. So all of which, the most of the part, you know, is this is a benign issue, right? So if you suspect a more serious problem, like colon cancer, this too can produce blood in the stool, and obviously you should get that checked, right? So you definitely want to get a diagnosis. Make sure you're not barking up the wrong tree. All right, so, yeah, I apologize if anybody's eating dinner. This is kind of one of those weird topics. Well, let's look at what turbo bowel is. So everyone has experienced that unpleasantness of what people call the number three. This is when you are passing stool that is beyond normal diarrhea. It kind of feels like you're throwing up with the other end. So there is almost always explosive gas along with watery diarrhea when this happens. So when children are small, they tend to call this squish. My butt had squish, Mom. So why does this happen? Well, the main cause is the GI tract may have an infection, or there may be some maldigestion going on. So bacteria, viruses, toxins from consuming maybe undercooked meat or food that is too old will cause this bowel to produce a deluge of fluid to shorten that transit time and get the offensive pathogens out of there. So this happens, let's say, when the body suspects you got, like, food poisoning, for instance. There's an example. So the appendix gland will release a fluid. That's why you have this gland. It's the immune system of the bowel. So it'll release a fluid, and it causes an evacuation process where it, for the lower large intestine, you know, let's get this out of here. It's like, you know, an explosion happens. So rapid dehydration is also a risk when this happens. This happens when people have like cholera or severe diarrhea issues, dysentery. So what you have is a violent bowel that's isn't functioning normal because it feels there's an infection there. So any malfunctioning digestive system needs to be checked. Foods that will make a digestive system complain like this are things like dairy products. So the lactose will prompt the production of gas causing the explosion and combustible liquid stool. And we should also count our blessings that we do not have this problem like the skipper caterpillar, which is has a defensive mechanism that can propel its stool 5 feet into the air. I'm glad we're not that. If we had that ability, if you do the calculation for the size difference, you would be hurling poo 200 feet. Not something pretty. What'd you say, Frank? Eating lots of garlic helps prevent and keeps infection almost zero. Yes. Very broad spectrum antiviral bacterial garlic is amazing. I agree. Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what you have on hand, I would use it. So if you want to have normal bowel movements, you know, where the stool's not too hard and it's not too soft, you want to find this healthy balance to produce that kind of evacuation with no, you know, gas or bloating or diarrhea symptoms. Too many people suffer needlessly as they have to, they have the power to change it all by themselves, really. Routine organ cleansing can help prevent unwanted surprises like this. So bowel cleanses are important. They're not just about improving transit time. They're about drawing impurities out of the colon wall. Heavy metals, if you've ever had vaccines. Radioactive particles, if you've ever had an x-ray. Pharmaceuticals, if you've ever taken pharmaceutical drugs, there's residues there. Pesticides, herbicides, you know, preservatives they put in foods, dyes, things like that. Things you don't want to hold on to. They can get lodged in colon tissue. So, and it happens when people don't have really good transit time. So, you know, the medical textbooks tell doctors that a normal bowel function is a bowel movement twice a week. not every day, but twice a week. That allows toxins to sit in that colon and be reabsorbed into the tissue. So if you have a sluggish bowel like that, you most likely have a lot of toxin buildup. So organ cleansing, bowel cleanses are going to be huge for you. It's going to be a game changer. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They are a specialist in organ cleansing, and they can explain the process and tell you how it's done. It's not something that you're going to have to, you know, stay near a restroom and do. You can still function normally. It's not going to give you turbo bowel. So check that out. Cleanse and nourish. Get the toxins out. Put the nutrition in. You got most internal medicine issues taken care of. Now, if you do have a tear in the bowel lining, if you have things like a rectovaginal fistula, if you've given birth, those will have to be surgically fixed. Unfortunately, that's just the case. But once you get those taken care of, then you can heal nicely and all will work pretty well. So some things have to be done surgically, unfortunately, these days, hernia repairs and so forth. So, and we have part three to the poo issue, but we'll carry on with that next week. Right now we're going to shift gears and we're going to be talking about a little bit about vitamins. Some of the media has kind of dropped the little hint that your supplements can give you cancer. So I thought we'd explore that. Over in the UK, this was being kind of touted around the media, saying if you take vitamins, you have a 56% increased risk of getting cancer, they were saying. So kind of no surprise that they report something like that. A scientific report would be trying to tell you don't take your vitamins, but they weren't differentiating between synthetic chemical vitamins and whole food supplements. They were just lumping them all in together. They mention nutrients that are typically made into synthetic vitamins in their report, just like the Journal of American Medical Association had some research back in 2002. They really didn't specify if they were studying whole food or synthetic supplements in their report, but they reported that vitamins don't promote health or prevent heart disease or cancer. So they were saying you're just wasting your money, but they really didn't define what they were using in their test. So now this UK were saying supplements increase the risk of things like prostate and breast cancer, promote diseases like heart and kidney disease, diabetes. So that was scary to folks. Why are they buying all these supplements if they're going to be put at risk? And people were, you know, kind of swallowing that propaganda. So the recent research was done by Dr. Tim Byers. He's an oncologist, and he says science and smart consumers know that synthetic vitamins are artificial and are most closely represented as a pharmaceutical drug rather than a nutrient source. So pharmaceutical drugs are almost always made from synthetic chemicals, and only 2% contain any organic substance. So junk supplements are more closely related to prescription meds. This is what he was saying. So most consumers will increase their intake of vitamin C to avoid colds and flus in the winter, and they may not know that in 1960, the method to manufacture synthetic vitamin C was developed by China. And almost all your vitamin C comes from China. So they are buying vitamin C, and so vitamin C that they do, it's a two-step fermentation process and to make the synthetic vitamin C in China, and they usually use bacteria in the process. So vitamins entered the consumer market in the 1930s, but by the 1940s, they were worldwide. So we're going to take a look at this. You just want to make sure something's not impersonating as organic whole food when it's not. So the impersonators of your vitamin world are your synthetic versions, also known as what I call wannabe vitamins. These are synthetic versions of nutrition, and they are not naturally occurring chemicals, but they're a mirror element made in a laboratory. So to give birth to a synthetic vitamin, you have to add additives and binding agents. Usually they use coal tar. And often dyes, sugar, and flavorings are added. So the most manufactured synthetic vitamins are vitamin E, beta-carotene, vitamin C, and folic acid. And studies are showing that the human body has difficulty digesting, absorbing, and utilizing these synthetic forms, these chemicals. So it's no mystery, really, why this happens, because, you know, the body does not have the entire structure of the nutrition. It just has a fraction of an isolated nutrient or chemical version of it. Therefore, synthetic vitamins will offer little to no nutritional potency because the body can't absorb it, or it will deplete itself of other nutritional stores trying to get what's missing in order to try to use it. So you can be devitalizing yourself when you take those. So when you compare your synthetic to your whole food vitamins, you can see a significant difference because foods contain food chains of nutrients that are often used together and are referred to as protein bonded and are not meant to be isolated. So the whole food versions of supplements are known by nutrition experts like herbalists to offer you more biodiversity, and they're more reliable and absorbed and easier for the body to utilize compared to your synthetic versions. So the real potency or use will be in the whole food version. So according to livingstrong.com, they actually caution their consumers to remember that the word natural does not mean the item is all natural, and it could contain additives and synthetic ingredients. So this word natural or organic, well, they're not as regulated as we'd like them to be, and they're the most abused words in marketing. So if you look at vitamin C, for instance, it is a complex molecule found in natural foods, but in the lab, it's an isolated synthetic ascorbic acid and is often extracted from corn starch, corn sugar, or rice starch. And most likely, the majority of the vitamin C on the market is made from GMO corn. Not good. Okay, so there's six categories. According to precisionnutrition.com, they define six categories of nutrients that are used in manufacturing vitamin supplements. However, it is still just going to boil down to either all-natural whole food supplements or your synthetic version. Now, I personally don't care if there are 25%, 50%, or 100% synthetic, because I demand 100% whole food organic myself. So that's not going to impress me. So natural sources would be whole foods like your vegetables, herbs, and fruits. Your synthetics would be nature recreated in the lab. As best as humanly possible, they try to recreate the molecule structure of an isolated nutrient, and this is a cheaper process than cultivating and using a natural source. So the main materials used to create the synthetic supplement are coal tar, which is a fossil fuel, petroleum, and acetylene gas. So these chemicals are manipulated to try to duplicate structures of isolated nutrient chemicals. So the industry does not make formulations available to the public. However, after the basic ingredient is selected, it is heated, cooked, fermented, and processed into a final synthetic stage. Nutraceuticals are just synthetic versions of botanical chemicals. Nutrients are degraded by heat, light, oxygen, and pH changes. So if your supplement label says it's a USP or US Pharmacopeia vitamin, it is mixed with a very small amount of a food source. So here's a common scenario. The most likely scenario on these studies reporting increased risk of various diseases is that people are using the synthetic versions, which are really drugs, and are also using some form of over-the-counter prescription drugs, magnifying their toxicity. So I have yet to see whole foods of any kind increase the risk of disease, but instead tend to reverse the course of disease. And I suspect this is why the real nutrition is under attack by your medical science area. So people who eat more fruit and vegetables, organic, preferably are less likely to develop serious diseases. So the message that we should really come away with is that synthetic supplements are not whole foods and can increase your risk of disease. And if 18 million in the UK and 78% of Americans would get their nutrition from whole foods in a diet, and if necessary, seek a whole food supplement when they have to, there's going to be far less disease. You're going to put medicine out of business. Put the drug companies out of business. Consumers should know that even if your supplement is advertised as natural, it may contain just 0 to 10% natural nutrition. Be aware of that. So I got a few minutes left, so I'm going to say here, common vitamins you may want to avoid. Vitamin A, it's made from acetate and palmitate, ingredients used in plastics, and acid from palm or corn oil. They use it to make eyeglass frames for your eyeglasses. Vitamin B1 and B3, thiamine, monitrate, hydroxychloride, coal tar, and acetanol ammonia. Vitamin B2, synthetic form of N2 acetic acid. Vitamin B5 and 6, petroleum, isobutylurohydrate, formaldehyde. Yuck. B9, beta carotene, petroleum esters. Vitamin B12, cobalamins with cyanide. Cobalamins with cyanide is your B12 synthetic vitamin. Pentothalic acid, calcium D, discovered in 1938, often taken from human waste products. Vitamin B6, hydrochloride. Vitamin B12, cobalamin, isolated from liver in 1948. PABA, coal tar, oxidized with ammonia. Folic acid, petroglutamate acid, chlorine bitrate, ethylene and ammonia combined. And it just goes down the list here. Vitamin D, irradiated erysterol, calciferol, irradiated animal fat, cattle brain. Ew. Okay. I'm sorry if you're eating. I think this is worse than the poo segment, Frank. All right. Well, we're running out of time here. So, I mean, you get the picture. This is anything but organic. No wonder the body goes, I don't think so. All right. So, I mean, natural sources, if you've got vitamin B9 from a natural source, it should be from broccoli or rice bran. Vitamin C from cherries or citrus fruits or rose hips. Vitamin E should come from healthy vegetable oils. Vitamin K from cabbage. And your vitamin B, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 12, vitamin D and PABA, you can obtain from nutritional yeast flakes that don't give you candida and rice bran. Amen. It's not rocket science. Shouldn't have to be hard. Health should not have to be hard. You shouldn't have to depend on a pharmaceutical industry to be healthy. We shouldn't be doing that. Okay. I'm going to stop here. I'll add some extras next time on that. But don't forget, sale is going on for Mother's Day at thepowerherbs.com, the folks at Apothecary Herbs. 20% off on orders of $65 or more. Runs through the Sunday, the 14th of May, so do hurry if you want to take advantage of that sale. Details online or give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Get a free catalog and be empowered. You can do this. You can change your DNA in 6 days just by getting whole food organic supplements and getting rid of the trashy synthetic ones. Amen to that. All right. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.